So I wanted to begin by talking to you about our partner in this effort, and it's Casa Justa Just Cause. And they're a multiracial grassroots organization that's building community leadership to achieve justice for low-income San Francisco and Oakland residents. You can see some of the key issues that they're working on. And in 2008, CJJC came to our health department, and they had concerns about emerging health problems in communities that have been hard hit by the foreclosure crisis. In the media and in the public discourse, it was really the economic consequences of foreclosure that were at the forefront. And CJJC came to us and said, let's partner and try to look at this issue from a different angle and move forward change from a different perspective. And that perspective was specifically looking at the health impacts of foreclosure. And so we set out to investigate the individual and community level health impacts of foreclosure, and specifically from the perspectives of residents that have been deeply impacted. Our primary research method was an in-depth, semi-structured survey that we conducted door-to-door in hard-hit neighborhoods of East and West Oakland. And we supplemented this survey data with one-on-one interviews with impacted residents, some local data, and secondary research. We purposively and strategically selected the neighborhoods where we surveyed, based not only on foreclosure risk and rate levels, but also looking at areas where we saw some institutional or community momentum to move forward action, organizing an action. So we looked at where current local initiatives were located and where CJGC's membership base, where there were some concentrations. And we focused on those areas along with where we saw high need in terms of foreclosure risk and rates. Our final sample included 388 residents that we talked to in East and West Oakland target neighborhoods. So I'm going to share with you some of the highlights from our research findings. We found that the health impacts of foreclosure are particularly detrimental because the neighborhoods where we were seeing the highest rates of foreclosure were also the same places where we're already seeing the highest burden of poor health outcomes countywide. And that's in East and West Oakland, the dark red areas. And so foreclosure really presents cumulative health impacts for these communities. And many of these communities, as you might expect, given the subprime lending crisis, are low-income communities of color with a history of disinvestment, discrimination, and ongoing neglect. Through our research, we were able to elucidate some of the main pathways by which foreclosures are taking toll on individual and community health. At the individual level, we saw massive losses of wealth, financial instability leading to health trade-offs, unstable and unhealthy living conditions, and mental stress. And then at the community level, we found displacement and deterioration of social ties and health supportive networks, vacant properties that were leading to blighted conditions and neighborhood decline, and finally, falling property values that were chipping away at the essential revenues needed to fund health-promoting services. So I'm just going to give you a taste of some of our specific research findings. Among our tenant respondents who were currently or recently experiencing foreclosure, we found that over 44% of them were worried about being evicted or forced to move out. And this is in Oakland, where there's a just cause for eviction ordinance, which means that you cannot be evicted from your property as long as you are paying your rent, unless there's just cause to evict you. So these people have a right to stay in those properties. And yet 40% or plus are threatened. We found that about one-third are living in unhealthy living conditions of mold and pests, or where there are threatened or actual utility shutoffs. And then there's those who are homeless, who are doubling up with others or living out on the streets. Along with our survey data, we were very conscious to supplement with actual personal stories of people being impacted in those communities. So our research underscored that there are vacant properties that are being neglected. And many of these vacant properties, what's happening is they're becoming magnets for trash, vandalism, blight, increased drug activity, squatting, rising crime, and violence. And people simply don't feel safe. There are all these community health risks that are emerging from this problem of foreclosure. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about how we've been moving this research to action. And I'll say that in our report, what we do is we take our research findings and we translate them into 11 policies or practices that could be moved forward at the federal, state, and local levels. And I just wanted to give you two specific examples of recommendations at the state level. We're distributing our report to key decision makers that have the potential to influence policy at all these different levels, and also to strategic allies who can work together with us on this problem of foreclosures. These are just examples of some of the kinds of people we're sending our report out to. And toward the end of this month, we're going to be convening a policy briefing where we bring together some key decision makers, allies, and funders, and we really strategize around some collective next actions we might be able to take. I wanted to share with you so far some ways we've been able to use our research to move forward action in three specific areas. And these include keeping utilities on in tenant-occupied foreclosed properties, making sure that banks and landlords register and maintain these vacant foreclosed properties, and also co-locating housing and health services so the foreclosed can get their needs met in one stop. So I'll go a little more in depth on what we've been doing around that first area. In March 2008, our health officer wrote a letter to East Bay Municipal Utility District officials and implored that the water be kept on for these tenants in foreclosed buildings for health reasons. While CJJC has been pushing forward policy change, they haven't been waiting to give support at the individual level. They have been supporting individuals and helping them to fight illegal evictions and utility shutoffs by holding regular tenants' rights clinics. In September 2010, we made a strategic decision to locate our report release event at the home of a tenant who was being threatened with utility shutoffs. And you can see him speaking to the media at our report release event in the photo. And we did this because we wanted to draw attention to not only his plight, but that of many other tenants who are living in foreclosed properties. Fortunately, at the end of September, a statewide bill, SB 1035, was passed, which CJJC had been helping to advocate for. And what this bill does is that it allows East Bay Municipal Utility District to place liens on properties where water bills have gone unpaid. And by doing that, they're able to keep the water flowing to the tenants, even though the banks or the new landlords are not paying the bills. And CJJC is going to continue to try to enforce that bill, see that it's enforced in fair ways. On the second issue of making sure that vacant foreclosed properties are registered and maintained, what we did is that our Deputy Director of Policy Planning and Health Equity wrote a letter to City Council and gave her support for the Oakland Vacant Property Registration Ordinance, which requires that banks and new landlords register the properties upon foreclosure and then are held accountable to maintain the properties to standard or else face fines. So we supported that ordinance, but we also said that ordinance doesn't go far enough. What you should be doing is also covering people who are living in, who are tenant-occupied buildings and also multi-unit buildings. We're still working on trying to have the ordinance expanded in that way, but we made our statement. And since October, we've been forging alliances with some groups that have the capacity to work with us to better enforce this VPRO, including the California Reinvestment Coalition, the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, and the local SEIU Union. Co-locating housing and health services is the last area we've been taking some action on. And in September of 2010, CJJC applied for an AC Innovations grant that funds innovative mental health projects. And what they're proposing to do is, if they get this funding, they're going to train their tenant and housing counselors to identify mental health problems and refer clients, to integrate some mental health questions into their intake process, and then also to conduct some monthly support groups run by CJJC as well as mental health professionals for tenants and homeowners at risk of displacement. Some of our findings around mental health impact were used to establish need for this funding. And if CJJC gets the grant, then the health department will be providing some evaluation technical assistance around this pilot project. So I wanted to close just by highlighting some of the key lessons that we've learned through this partnership. And what we found is that really these partnerships across sectors that are addressing that are seeking to assess and address these social determinants of health inequities, they're really not happening enough. 2 days ago, I went to a session where Dr. Linda Ray Murray, she was saying that on this issue of foreclosure, there are only 2 health departments nationwide that have spoken up on this issue and seen it as a public health issue. That is not enough. So we, as the health department, Alameda County Public Health Department, we have been honored that the editor of Street Spirit, which is a newspaper that is distributed on the streets by homeless vendors, that this editor chose to acknowledge our partnership as groundbreaking, and that there are foundations like the California Endowment that consider the type of partnership we're doing to be indicative of what is needed to move forward health equity. However, we also think that this kind of partnership needs to be more commonplace. It shouldn't be so groundbreaking, and that it needs to be this way if we are ever to make headway toward health equity. We feel that our partnership with CJJC has been particularly effective because it has been built over time and through earned trust, mutual respect of one another's capacities and skills that we have to bring to the table, and authentic power sharing throughout the process. We feel that a health lens can really help to broaden the dialogue around complex issues like foreclosure and give new momentum to move forward change, sometimes policy change, from a new powerful perspective. Here you see 2 local newspapers that pretty much jumped at the opportunity to give front page coverage to our story because we were willing to look at foreclosures from a different angle than anybody else was. And that is that foreclosures can make you sick, the health angle. So policy solutions are really integral to move forward. But we also want to underscore that engaging residents and organizations in the process and the fight for change is equally important. If you look at the issue of foreclosures, foreclosures are really pockmarking communities across this country and really decimating community ties and power. And so what we really need to do is the essential work of working with community to rebuild their neighborhoods and restore their health. And finally, door-to-door surveys do seem to be a valuable tool and opportunity to go out and mobilize, assist, engage, and empower community. And our effort is indicative of this. I just wanted to close with a quote from Street Spirit. This is how they covered our story. They said in the words of poet, Dylan Thomas, yes. Dylan Thomas, he said, Do not go gentle in that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. The light is going out in thousands of foreclosed, abandoned homes in our midst. We should support ACPHD and CJJC for speaking out against a foreclosure crisis that is threatening entire communities. They are fighting against the dying of the light. And I would say to all of us who are working in this fight towards social justice, that we simply must continue to fight against the dying of the light. I have do I have time to take a question or two?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I can take a few questions or two. I did want to point out that the report is downloadable from our website, which I put on there. Simply go to Data and Reports and then click on Foreclosures. You can access the full report as well as our exec summary. And for a few of you who are very, very interested, I did bring some hard copies, so you can come speak to me afterwards. But I'm available to answer questions, and I also have some of my colleagues in the room who can also jump in. Yes.
Can you talk about the process of selecting the policy alternatives that you decided to promote?
Yes. So I would say that there wasn't like a systematic process to determining the 11 policies that we endorsed. But rather, given the different scope of problems that we saw, which were to prevent foreclosures from happening in the first place, which was where we're promoting things like loan mediation, to address housing instability and health, which is where we're working on things like the mental health and mental health partnerships. And then the final part was about preventing the foreclosure crisis from ever happening again. And that has to deal with things like the need to regulate at the federal level so that this does not happen again. That's a prime lending crisis. So we saw certain spectrums of areas of need and then identified kind of at what levels we saw the policies needed to be implemented at the federal, state, or local. And then made our recommendations. So from the data, we saw the different areas in need and then where we might be able to take action and then put forth our recommendations.